short meeting. Didn't want to get people here any earlier than they had to be or let them do other things or whatever. Judith, I think we're not going to do anything about 256. Our amendments are still backed up in Legislative Council. We're going to have a public hearing real quick on 2200, and I'm going to ask Judith if she'll tell us a little bit about it first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House Bill 2200 comes to us at the request of the Department of Forestry. It exempts forest protective associations, rangeland protection systems, and public bodies from liability for certain fire protection actions, that is, actions that are done within the scope of their duties but may result in injury to persons or property. It does allow for liability for willful misconduct or gross negligence. So liability is not limited in that case, and does declare an emergency effective on passage. If you look on the measure, starting on line 12, they do talk about some liability limitations for employees. The measure has a no fiscal and no revenue impact. It did pass the House 54 yeas and 6 individuals excused. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We have one person that wants to introduce this. This is the Department of Forestry bill, so we'll let Charlie Stone come and talk about it for a minute, and something that just popped up for them may mean that we'll want an amendment to this.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Charlie Stone. I'm Assistant State Forester for the Department of Forestry Protection Division, and forgive me the informal appearance this morning. I just learned I thought I was going to have a quiet day on the holiday at the office catching up on things when I spotted this on the calendar this morning. I figured I better hustle down here.
We're not paying you overtime, are we?
No, sir.
Just a union question. I have to check. I'm trying to keep the budget down for the state. Roger and I.
House Bill 2200 is a Forestry Department Board of Forestry requested bill. It has two elements to it, both of which exist already for some groups in the law, and we're trying to extend them to additional groups. The first piece already exists for structural firefighters, and that provides that firefighters for the Forest Protective Association, for the Department of Forestry as a public body, and for the Rangeland Protective Associations, if they're doing their business as required by Chapter 477 in the way that they're supposed to, would not be liable for damages. For instance, a structural firefighter who goes up on a roof and cuts a hole in the roof to vent it is damaging that property, but hopefully saving it at the same time, and they're spared that liability. By the same token, under this measure, a forest firefighter who calls in a retardant drop and it stops the fire from burning into somebody's property, but it knocks over their woodshed, wouldn't be liable for that damage. The second piece extends to the Forest Protective Associations, the protections of the Tort Claims Liability Act, similar to what the Department of Forestry firefighters already have. When they are working outside their forest protective districts for the state forester at the direction, that would be Coos Forest Protective Association, Douglas Forest Protective Association, Walker Range. These are private nonprofit corporations that do fire protection in the state and do not have the same protections as state agencies generally, and still would not, when they're working in their own district, they have liability insurance that covers them there. But they also go out on project fires as members of our incident management teams, or on what we call contingency move-ups to go to other districts to help out when there's a lightning storm coming. And in those cases, when they're working under the control and direction of the state forester, their liability would be limited in the same fashion that the state forester's is. Now, those are the two things that the bill does currently, and that we would like to have take place through this. The mention in terms of a possible amendment, the Department of Forestry and landowners have been working for over a year now on various minor pieces of the forest protection laws, particularly in the rules. trying to come up with some solutions to some minor problems in the every reasonable effort landowner liability clauses in with regard to fire watches and defining operation areas, et cetera. All of those items that they've worked on are fixable, if you will, under administrative rule, except that they've identified the desire to make a change to the definition of every reasonable effort, which is in statute in Chapter 477. And that speaks directly to liability during firefighting activities, which would match up with this relating clause. It's not something that was contemplated in this bill, but at this stage in the legislature, they were hoping that maybe they could attach to this and work that through. Our request is that we not have a work session on this bill until we can explore with legislative council, see if that bill would work and slide in here. And of course, we'd also want to check with the House committee to ensure that they don't have any problem with the bill that, as it's already been passed.
Okay. Sure.
Yes. Senator Fisher.
Yeah, Charlie, I'm curious. You mentioned an interesting factor, the protecting the person that calls in a drop. And it saves the place, but it knocked down the woodshed. What protection does the guy flying the plane, the company flying the plane, have?
If they are...
A situation like that.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, in the case of air tankers specifically, those folks are working as contractors to the Forest Service. And this would not provide protection to them. They're not one of the groups that's covered here. And frankly, I don't know what kind of protection they might have under federal regulations at this point. Now, if it was someone who was working as a private contractor in some of the small air tankers or helicopter operator that we've contracted, I would think that they might be able to come under the under these provisions, but if you'd like, I'll have counsel take a look at that and get you a more firm answer.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I guess this is something that really bothers me. We're so quick to protect government, and we basically almost have a totally careless attitude toward the general public that wind up being involved in a lot of these same situations but have absolutely no access to this. And I've seen this just time after time after time, and it seemed to me like that if this is a good policy for our government employees, it certainly would be a good policy for everybody that's out there, in some cases even donating their time to try to help some of these things, when in reality, you know, if you were running a bulldozer or something and backed up on somebody's car or something when you were in a tight spot or had to run through a fence or, you know, knock down some trees or something, and later on somebody got the idea that it wouldn't have actually have had to have done been done or something like that, it would seem like that we would want to be as inclusive as we could here so that we don't wind up and create a situation where people are hesitant to jump in an emergency and help out on these things. And from that standpoint, I have questioned several different things that we've done since I've been here, where basically we're willing to give government all kinds of protections and exceptions and things like that, but don't seem to want to be one bit interested in carrying it over into the general public, who so often are doing the same things or subject to the same miserable types of comebacks that we think are so detrimental to government.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, certainly it isn't our intention to put folks in that type of a position. Generally speaking, when people are acting in the same fashion, fighting a fire, they are operating under the direction and control of the state forester. Certainly the dozer operators that you mentioned, we typically hire them as temporary employees during the cause of during the course of the fire, and so they would at that point be employees and be covered by this. The particular situation that you mentioned in terms of the aircraft operators, some of them are our vendors and under contract, and I don't know whether this applies. It would I would like to cover that, but for the most part, once we're out there doing the job, and this speaks to folks that are doing the job as required by Chapter 477, most of them are under our employee or contract, and I'd be happy to try and find out if that covers them, because it's not an intention to leave folks out in the cold.
Senator Fisher, I would have thought, given that this bill was unanimous in the House, that somebody would have addressed that issue. But if they haven't, and you can come back to us, that would be good. The quick thing I want to know is you talk about every reasonable effort. Can you give a layman's definition of the change that you're seeking one more time? All of us weren't here, and that's the amendment that you want to have permission to run and get. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to. Under Chapter 477, landowners generally are responsible for protection on their own land, and they can do that by paying the state forester an assessment. However, when a fire starts on their property, they have a responsibility to tackle that if there's any liability, any negligence, or direct cause of that. They have to make every reasonable effort to abate the fire, and if they don't, then they have potential liability. If they do and they're covered and then they've paid their assessment, they don't have to pay the cost necessarily. Every reasonable effort is defined as applying what you have that's customarily and usually used in the forest industry and in the effort to suppress the fire. If you're a Weyerhaeuser or a Roseburg Resources, that could mean logging equipment, dozers, in the case of Weyerhaeuser, even helicopters. All those types of resources have to be applied to the effort to maintain the protection from liability. On the other hand, a small woodland owner who doesn't have any equipment, doesn't do their own work, wouldn't have anything that's customarily and usually used in the forest industry that could apply to that and might be held liable for not making every reasonable effort. The work group made up of forest landowners that studied this question felt that the small landowner ought to be able to make their every reasonable effort by pulling out the garden hose and squirting some water on the fire or grabbing a shovel and starting to build line, and that would be their every reasonable effort, but that's not necessarily covered under the current definition. And so they proposed that it be changed from customarily and usually used in the forest industry to appropriate as determined by the state forester.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, one more thing. In other words, basically you're saying that you don't have any volunteers fighting fire anymore. For people, in other words, if they're in a logging operation and a fire starts up, they automatically on your payroll the minute that fire starts and they start using their own dozer that's there or whatever other kind of equipment they might have.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fisher, that's generally been the case all along, that while they do volunteer and come to fight the fire, if they're determined once we arrive or when we're there, if they're doing what's necessary, we do put them on the payroll and pay them for their efforts, yes. Unless they have a responsibility for the fire as a landowner or operator that was involved in it, then they're not on the payroll.
But shouldn't they then be protected if they're...
If we make them their employee, they would be protected under
I mean, shouldn't they have the same protection that your employees would have as long as they're doing that?
As long as they're following the requirements of the chapter, I certainly agree that they ought to.
When you come back, can you address Senator Fisher's issues and questions?
I'd be happy.
And unless I hear argument, we'll give some time for you to talk to legislative council and add this every reasonable effort amendment unless they find a problem with it. And also you want to get Ray Wilkerson or somebody in here to speak from industry's side.
Yes, and I would say that OFIC did appear at the House committee and speak in favor of the basic bill,
But you hadn't thought of this amendment yet.
That's
then.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Are there any other comments? If not, we're just going to close the hearing on House Bill 2200. And I'd like to ask the committee's indulgence. I have... What do you think?
You okay with the stress?
If I could for a minute, I'm just asking your direction to proceed. I've had a conversation, in fact, two or three conversations now with Senator Messerly, and he said this to me, that he'd made a commitment to have some kind of a hearing, at least, on the forest legacy issue. which is controversial. With that in mind, I had drafted LC 26, 48, and 49. What these are simple, appoint a little committee to study them kind of bills. And I was wondering if you folks would consider introducing those as committee bills this morning.
Mr. Chair, so moved.
Well, I guess I should have a I should open a work session if we're going to do that. Let's open a work session on LCs or what?
Sure.
LCs 26, 48, and 49.
Possible introduction.
Or possible introduction.
Mr. Chair, I would move LC 26, 48 and LC 26, 49 be introduced as committee bills.
Thank you. Sure. Yes, Senator Fisher.
Are we going to wind up with as many task forces out of this session as we had last session?
We're going to have more task force than Department of Human Services has chairs before we're done with this thing.
That won't be many.
And they'll be cheaper, though. The chairs are $150 a piece.
It's not my intent to create a lot of task forces. It is an issue that several people have been interested in for a long time, and we're just at this point talking about introducing these LCs as a resource if a hearing decides they want to do something.
Yeah.
Okay. Without objection, or do I need to call the roll?
No, without objection.
Is there an objection? Is there any further discussion of these two?
No, we think that you're going in exactly the right direction. We're not sure what that direction is, but we think it's the correct direction.
Thank you. Thank you for the commentary that was not asked for.
Thank you,
Senator Corcoran. If there's no objection, LC drafts 26, 48, and 49 will be introduced as committee bills. And with that, we can close the hearing.
I'm going to carry those for you to the Secretary of the Senate's office. I'd be happy to do that.
I think what I want to do is adjourn the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources before Senator Corcoran says anything else outrageous. Is that okay?
19 minutes.